Well, when my son Cohen turned 12, we decided to give him a very early birthday gift. In our family, we decided that when our kids turn 12, we will gift them with a very used, but new to them, cell phone. Now, this is all, of course, barring the fact that they're responsible and, you know, obedient and things like that. We want to make sure they're ready for this gift, but this is a gift that they anticipate forever. Now, are these children living their best lives? Yes, they are. Did I have a cell phone at 12 years old? No, I did not. I got my cell phone my freshman year at the University of Illinois. You know, the old school Nokias that you never turned on. Why? Because it's for emergencies only. You guys remember, right? My kids think it's hilarious that we had to pay per text message. And when we talked to our friends, when it was free, do you remember when? Nights and weekends, you know, after 9 p.m., you remember. All right, so these kids, they have no idea the struggle that we went through. They're living their best life, and they love having a cell phone. But I'll tell you, it's also a gift to the parents, right? Because I love to know that I can get a hold of my kid at any time, and I can track their tiny little dot all over my town. But truly, no one is more excited to get the cell phone than the 12-year-old, right? There's something magical about watching your kids receive a gift that is long awaited and anticipated. And you betcha, I have a video of my 12-year-old son receiving this gift. Now, I do have his permission to show the video, which is really kind because nobody likes to see their 12-year-old self on a big screen, but let's watch.
Okay, we have decided we're going to give you an early birthday present. Yay. Would you like an early one?
Yes.
And they're here, so they get to see it. But we hit it. So you have to look for it. No, don't give him any hint.
Huh?
You, do you want to give him a hint?
Give me a floor.
Should I give him a hint?
Give me a floor.
Give him a floor.
Do you want a hint?
I want the floor.
Maybe a hint.
One hint? Okay. I'm going to give you one hint.
Okay.
Is everyone ready? Let's be very quiet. Are you ready?
Yes.
No, no, you did not. You did not get him that.
Gigi, move.
No way, no. Oh my gosh, no.
Oh, yeah, the joy is like palpable, right? Because he fell to his knees. He says, I'm so happy at the end. And my question to you is, have you ever received a gift that you were filled with so much gratitude that you fell to your knees? Because what I want you to know today is if you're sitting here and you have professed your faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have received the greatest gift you will ever receive. Ever. Ever. You know, we've been reading our one-year Bible together as a church family, and if you don't have a copy, you can stop by the lounge after service to figure out how to get one. But we have journeyed through the scriptures together as a church family, and we've read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we saw the life of Jesus lived out from four different accounts. And then most of this month of June, we've been reading the book of Acts together. And Acts isn't just a sequel to the Gospels, it's the written history of the beginning of the church. Right? Acts is where the earthly ministry of Jesus ends and he ascends. And from that moment on, we witness this spiritual wildfire that starts spreading across the world. And so what started in a small upper room in Jerusalem then bursts into the world with things like bold preaching and miraculous events, miraculous healings, prison breaks, unlikely conversions, right? Acts is filled with it all. But the most important thing is we see a growing movement of the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts records so many different kinds of stories, stories about courage in the face of persecution, stories about unity in the moments of diversity. But above all, it talks about the unstoppable mission of God moving forward and being carried out through flawed but faithful men and women. And that's people like you and people like me. And so the book of Acts that we've been reading is not just history. It really becomes a blueprint for how the church can live today. And so that means while we finish the book of Acts, while it ends with chapter 28, we are now participating in what could be Acts 29. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's still moving. Stories are still being written. The church of God is expanding, right? He continues to do many things through each of our lives. And all of these stories that we have, they all hinge on one incredible gift. And that gift is Jesus himself. The question is, how do we respond to that gift? So let's pray, and we'll invite the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. So Lord, you're so welcome here. We love you deeply, and we just ask now that you would help the scripture come alive. For some the first time, for others again and again and again. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, well, today I want to start by jumping into a singular verse that we read this week in our one-year Bible in the book of Acts, and then I'm going to tell you a little context for it. So we're going to read here in Acts 20, verse 24. It says this, "My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Now, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, as is recorded in Acts 20. And here's what you have to know about Paul. Paul was born with the name Saul. So if you hear Saul, same guy, Saul, then Paul. He was born in the first century AD in Tarsus, which is modern day Turkey. And he was born as a Roman citizen. So that means he grew up studying Jewish laws and traditions in Jerusalem under a very famous teacher named Gamaliel. Now, Saul, at the time, he was a devout Pharisee. What that means is that he took his religious duties very, very seriously, and he studied the scriptures day in and day out. And so initially, when he was still known as Saul, he hated Christianity. He hated it. He thought this new sect was really a threat to Judaism, and he committed his life to actively participating in the persecution of Christians. And it shocks me, even just this week as I'm rereading Acts, and I see that it's our guy Paul, who is the one who is championing and approving and making sure that Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is actually killed. Like, it's just wild to me. He committed his whole life to persecuting and killing Christians. But thankfully, things change for our good man Saul, and his life takes a very dramatic turn. And this is about the year 33 to 36, somewhere in there, AD. And Saul, at the time, he's on a journey to the city of Damascus to continue persecuting Christians. And I want to tell you about something extraordinary that happened. We read this in Acts chapter 9. So as he, Saul, was approaching Damascus on this mission, you know, Christian killing and persecuting, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now, this experience on the road to Damascus, what happened here in this moment, blinded Saul for 3 days. And if you know the rest of the story, you know he journeyed on, and a believer named Ananias meets him. He prays for him that his eyes would be instantly opened, and they are, so he's healed from the blindness. And then he receives Jesus. He is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was baptized. And he goes on to spend the rest of his life championing the gospel. He gives his whole life to it. Now, did this come without hardship? No, it didn't, right? Because his life was also a place where he was being persecuted now as a believer, because he was going out, he was planting churches, he was equipping the leaders, like he was doing the most. He was sharing with everyone who would listen about this good news. And that persecution came at a cost, right? There, he was stoned by a crowd in Lystra. He was thrown into prison. Like, it wasn't an easy journey, but he gave his entire life for the sake of the gospel. And here's why I believe he did that. I believe it's because Paul understood the gift that he had been given. And he knew that that gift required a response from him. Let's read again this Acts 20, 22. Now that you have a little bit of context, I'm going to read it in a different verse, again, or in a different version. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. He says this, "What matters to me most is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God." Paul knew the gift that he had been given in Jesus, and he believed it so deeply. It mattered to him so much that he would share with anybody who would listen about this good news. Do you know the good news of the gospel? Let me tell you. that the God of the universe loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to live on the earth, to show us how to do this life, right? And Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, absolute perfection. And when he chose to die and hang on the cross and be raised again, that sacrifice paid for all sin for all time. And so the sin that you have committed, the sin that I've committed, the things that would separate us and the things that would cause us punishment has now been paid for in Jesus. That is something to celebrate. And then he says, and guess what? I'm not going to make you walk this Christian life out alone, right? He says, I'm going to put you in a family and you're going to be filled with my Holy Spirit. And we're going to journey this thing forever. It is a beautiful gift to have kingdom purpose. That's what happens when we receive the gift of Jesus, when we receive salvation. It's good news. And the truth is, all of our journeys might look a little different, right? Our journey might look a little different than Saul, Paul, right? Probably. And yet, the same Jesus who revealed himself to Saul on a road to Damascus wants to reveal himself to you today. For some of you the first time, for others again and again and again. May we see him as he truly is. May we see him. So the question, what are we doing with this gift of Jesus, this gift of salvation? I believe there's three ways that we engage with the gift, and it is this. We receive, we respond, and we relay, right? So the first way that we engage with the glorious gift of the gospel is that we receive it, because a gift has to be received, right? You have to actually receive it, take it into your possession. If you're sitting here today and you don't know how to receive the gift of Jesus, or you're sitting here today and you're like, I maybe need a little refresher because I don't know if I could tell my friend about it. We're gonna do a little refresher this morning. This is how you receive Jesus. We're gonna have it up on the screen. Some of you might need to take notes. You might wanna take a picture, especially if you wanna be able to tell your friends about this glorious gift of Jesus. It is this, the first thing we do, we acknowledge our need. We recognize that everyone, turn to your neighbor and say, everyone. Yep, that's you too. Mm-hmm. We've all made mistakes. We've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short, but God's love is greater than our mistakes. Second, we believe in Jesus. We trust that God sent his son to save us. And we believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And in that, he offers us new life. And then number three, we invite Jesus into our life and we tell Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to ask you to be our Lord and our Savior. My whole life is submitted to you. And so we're going to take a moment now. We're just going to pray this together. You can pray it in your heart, in your head. You can say it out loud if you want, but we're just gonna respond by receiving what this gift is. And so Jesus, we admit right now, we can't do this without you. Some of us have been trying. We can't do this without you. We recognize that we need you because we've missed the mark. We failed, we've made mistakes, and we need you, Jesus. And we declare that we believe in you. We believe that you are the Son of God who lived on this earth as a man, died and rose again for the forgiveness of all sin for all time, every one of them. And now, Jesus, we fully submit our entire lives to you. We are declaring that we want to follow you, and we ask now to be filled with your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, it doesn't take very long, but it's a really important decision that you make. And some of you today, you made that decision for the very first time. And I want to say, welcome to the family of God. It's that simple. You just receive it. You receive what God has done. You know, we've been so blessed to see an increase in the number of salvations and baptisms the last few weeks, right? When people receive this good news, they want to respond with something. And we see baptism increase because baptism is a public declaration of this decision that they've made in their hearts. And what I want you to know today is we're going to continue partnering with what God's doing. If you're here today and that was the first time you prayed that prayer and you're like, I'm ready, I'm all in, I want to follow this Jesus, he has my life, you can respond by getting water baptized today. We have clothes for you, towels, you don't have to worry about it. As soon as worship starts, come down and then publicly declare what Jesus has done in your life. We want to partner with you. Some of you are making that decision for the first time today. Others of you, you made that decision a long time ago. You've done that. And I just want to encourage you to remember the decision you made. Remember what Jesus has done and remember the joy of following him because it is a life filled with joy. Here's the good news of the gospel. It is available for all people. Nobody is excluded from the kingdom of God. Every person is welcome at his table. And when people receive it, they respond with joy, right? Remember, I told you about Cohen and his cell phone and how he was so filled with joy, so overcome that he fell to his knees, right? Can I tell you, people are really, they're really encountering the love of Jesus. They're being filled with the Spirit and they are falling to their knees because they're so overcome with gratitude. If you've tried to do life on your own for a while and then you realize, man, I need some help, that's where the gratitude comes. And you're like, this guy did this for me. He already made a way. All I have to do is receive it. Fall to your knees again and again and again. May we be never satisfied to keep living a life where we don't remember the gift that we've been given. It is a gift. It is a joy. It is a joy. And the gift that we've been given, we receive it, but it does require a response, right? If I gave the gift to Cohen, I gave him a cell phone, and he said, thanks, Mom, that's great. And he goes and he throws it in a drawer, never looks at it again. Has he received the gift? Technically. Has he responded to the gift? Not at all. Because a cell phone in a drawer is pretty lame, right? The same thing happens in our faith. We receive the gift and we kind of put it on the shelf. And we're like, oh, that was a good decision I made. But actually, walking with Jesus requires daily responsibility. Daily response, right? Cohen knows with his cell phone, it requires daily tender care, right? It means he has to like put an OtterBox case on the phone because these kids are droppers, right? And you got to protect the phone. And he knows he's got to put his phone on the charger in the living room every night before he goes to bed. Why? Because a dead cell phone is pretty useless. The gift requires response. It requires tender care. It requires responsibility. We've been given an extraordinary gift, the gift of Jesus, but it requires a response. We're responsible now, day in and day out. And so it means we've turned our life over to Jesus, we've received him, we're fully submitted, and then what? And then what? Well, we're going to look here at Acts 2. We have a very practical picture of how we steward the gift that's been given to us. How do we respond day in and day out to what the Lord is doing? It looks like this, verse 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Meaning, we've heard about this great gift. Okay, now what? Peter replies, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's that prayer that we prayed earlier, right? And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Again, this gift is available for all. Everyone say all. All people. That's you, your neighbor, your mama, your friend's neighbor, like anybody. It's available to all people. And then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter was saying were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. They received the gift, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were baptized, and then they had to tend to this gift that was given to them. So how did they respond? Verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. They receive the gift, and then it requires a response. So how do they respond to this gift of Jesus? They meet in the temple. That's what we're doing right now. We're meeting for worship. They go into their homes. They open their homes. They share meals with one another. They share everything they have. They see miracles happen. They do the most, right? They care for one another. And what I'm telling you is if you've received the gift of salvation, if you've received Jesus and you've been baptized, but you have not yet begun to steward the gift by joining in Christian community, this is your next step. It is impossible to live out the Christian life alone. It's not the design. It's not the way it was supposed to be. The way that we care for this gift is that we do it together. Now, is this gathering important? Absolutely, right? They met together in the temple. They worshiped together. It is important. It's kind of like... you know, when you plug your cell phone in, right? You need a little supercharge of spirituality. We come here, we gather, we're supercharged, and then we're sent out. Now, we don't live here, right? If your cell phone was on the charger 24/7, we'd say, your phone is broken, right? You need some help. That's not the case. We don't have to actually live at the church. We are charged up and filled up and sent out to do the work of the kingdom. And the way that we continue growing in our relationship with Jesus and stewarding this gift that we've been given is that we do it together in community. And I just want to say, there's so many people who have done this for years. You have understood the importance of opening your home, of bringing people in, of sharing meals and sharing everything you have. You've done it through small groups, through hangouts, through many different ways. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for championing the gospel by opening your home and bringing people into it. But I want to celebrate two amazing couples that I've just had the privilege of watching, like a front row seat, these people who have dedicated their lives to the kingdom. And that's the Vogelsang family and the Hodge family. And they've been a part of this church for decades, but they have understood the importance of sharing the meals, opening the home, studying the scriptures, doing life together. And I'm telling you, their lives truly are better for it. They'll tell you, they have served in every way, shape, and form. They have cared for each other through sickness, through grief, and through sadness. They celebrated together with each other at their kids' weddings and done all the baby showers and bridal showers. And they've done it all. What I'm telling you is they know the importance of living out Acts 2. This is what David Hodge said about his small group and doing life together. He said, we've led groups for about 40 years, 35 of them at the Vineyard. Can we just give a little, that's incredible, right? 35 years here. We think small groups are where the life of the church is played out. Relationships, support, accountability, and discipleship. Small groups are the practical extension of the body of Christ. Right? The gathering here is so important, but we are formed in Christian community. And I love that when we gather with each other, when you open your homes, you really get to hear what people need. It says they shared everything they had. I've had some awesome small group experiences. I remember one time there was this couple in our group and she's like, oh, our grandkids are coming for the weekend. I wish I had one of those, you know, newfangled baby monitors. And I'm like, well, it's not new. It's pretty old now, but I got an extra one in my basement. Do you want to just take it and you can just use it? Yeah, absolutely. Because I never would have known about this need sitting here on a Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm just telling you, it just doesn't happen. Right, we come in, we do our thing, we leave. We are formed in Christian community when we gather week in and week out and we know the need. It's important. And I'm just telling you, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling like no one's really caring for me, man, how do I want to be a part of this. I have needs too. You guys, get in Christian community. If you don't see something, start something. I'm telling you, this is how simple it is. You're going to invite 3 to 5 friends to come over to your house for dinner. Start today. Do it. You just say, hey, come on over. We're going to pray for each other and we're going to worship together. And if you need content, you're like, well, I need help to study the word. We have it for you. There's a little QR code they're going to put up. If you're like, I want help on this journey as I walk out discipleship and become an Acts 2 believer in Christian community, scan that QR code. I will send you some information. We're calling them transformation groups. This is just a way for you to continue to gather in your homes and start somewhere. It's simple. You devote yourselves to prayer, to attending service, to meeting needs of the people in your groups. You guys will help each other. It's beautiful. And you're not alone on the journey. We will support you as you go. It's really important that we help each other on the journey. All right, so Acts 2 is a picture of the church, right? How we can respond to the greatest gift we've ever been given. We receive it. We respond by tending to the great gift, by living out Acts 2, and then we relay this good news to other people. You know what happens when good news happens? You tell everybody, right? Something good happens, you can't help yourself. You get on Facebook, you just start beep, 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 beep. When Cohen got his cell phone, first thing he did, he's like texting all his bros. Hey, got my number, this is my number, hit me up, put me in here. Not really, but he did. Because he wanted to share the good news, right? We've been given the greatest gift ever, and yet we sit quietly. Why are we so afraid to relay the good news of the gospel? Paul wasn't ashamed. He said his life was worth nothing other than telling people about this greatest gift that has ever been given. Can I tell you that I think we sometimes don't share because we forget the gift that we've been given? We forget the joy? Right? Cohen loves that he has a cell phone, but he doesn't every day wake up and be like, oh, the greatest gift. Now, if I threaten to take it away, that's a different story. Then he remembers the greatest gift he's ever been given. I think we forget. It's kind of like, ladies, when you get engaged and you got that engagement ring and you're like constantly looking at it, you're like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. And like you show all your friends and it's sparkly and you make sure it doesn't ding and you're always worried about losing it, you know. And then you've been married 20 years. Real story this morning, I got in the car, Cohen's driving now and so he's driving us there. We get like 2 blocks away. I'm like, I forgot my wedding ring. I literally took it off and I put some lotion on and I just forgot to put it back on. And turn back around and go get it. Mainly for this illustration, but I'm kidding. I actually do like to wear my wedding ring. It's right here in plain sight, and yet we still forget. I think sometimes that's what happens with the gospel. It's like it becomes so commonplace, so comfortable. We forget about the greatest gift we've ever been given. May we be reminded today of the joy of our salvation. May we be reminded today of the life change that happens with Jesus. And it's not a one-time change. It's again and again and again and again and again as we are filled. But it's important to tell the people what Jesus is doing. We relay the message. And can I just tell you, the young people are leading the way in this. They're leading the way. They can't help themselves. They're starting Bible studies in their schools. They're meeting in their homes and studying the word together on their own accord. There's no leaders. It's them. They're doing it because they want to. The college ministry is, they're just so excited. I'm actually going to invite Dale right here. I was a little lost you. Okay. Dale to come up and share a little bit about what the Holy Spirit's doing through faithful men and women who have been changed by Jesus. So Dale, tell us what's happening.
Yeah, I'd say God really, over this past year, has really gripped our hearts with just a desire and a hunger to share the gospel, to evangelize to the people around us. And a lot of that has had to do with the fact that we're just kind of waking up to the reality that there's a whole mission field in our backyard, that every year thousands of students from all across the world come to our city to learn. And there's an opportunity to share. Many of these people we're finding out actually have never heard the gospel. I'll never forget earlier this year, I was walking around campus with Bree, our TVC college coordinator, and we end up talking with this one guy, and she goes on to tell him the gospel and share her story and her testimony of how Jesus transformed her. And at the end of all of this, the first thing he says is, I've never heard that before. No one's ever told me that before. And so we're really waking up and really realizing not just the reality, but the responsibility we have as a college ministry to share the gospel with college students. We've kind of stopped doing the turning to the left and to the right, like who's going to share with them, and realizing like, oh, God has actually called us as a college ministry for such a time as this to share the gospel to our classmates and to our peers and to our coworkers and our roommates. Like, it's us. Tag, we're it. And so it's been really, really cool to see. God has actually been really personally dealing with me in this matter. Too. Back in spring, he spoke this scripture to me. It's Romans 1:16, which says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And I remember when I read that scripture, I got really, really convicted because I was like, dang, how many times do I act ashamed of the gospel? Like, I'm going to share my faith with someone and I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to come across too judgy or too pushy or too whatever. And I act ashamed when in reality, I shouldn't be ashamed because it's the power of God unto salvation. That anytime the gospel is preached, there's an opportunity for people to respond. Like Lee was talking about, there's an opportunity for people to receive the life and the wholeness and forgiveness and the freedom that's only found in Jesus. And I mean, I'm a personal testament to that. If no one had ever told me, I wouldn't be here. And so there's such an opportunity. And God's been doing amazing things, and that's really what it's been for us, is we're no longer ashamed. And the Sons and Daughters Conference that we had a few weeks back here was so impactful for our team. There's so much more I could say about that, but it almost felt like that was the weekend where the cord was cut, where we've been like dipping our toes, we've been doing these things, but it's like the time is now, and we need to run full speed ahead. And so you might have heard stories that night after the conference had ended, we actually went onto campus to the fountain just to share testimonies and to preach. We didn't know what we were doing. We were just showing up. And we ended up baptizing 4 people. It was so incredible, and there's more I could share about that night. But it hasn't stopped. Every single Saturday since then, we've been going out onto campus, and we've been doing this outreach. We've been called Saved at the Bell. It's not Saved by the Bell. They're too young to actually know that show, but Saved at the Bell, where we go to the South Quad Bell Tower on campus, and you see we bring our little speaker and microphone, and we set up camp. And we just share. We share testimonies. We preach the gospel. We worship. And it's been amazing. And can I just say, as someone who has a front row seat to this, who's honored and privileged enough to get a front row seat to this, like, I'm so proud of you guys. Like, so, so proud of all the things they could be doing. Yeah, give it up for them. Of all the things. of all the things they could be doing on a Saturday night during their summer break, they're choosing to show up on campus because they can't help but to share how Jesus has transformed and changed their lives. And, you know, I wish I could stand up here and say that since we've been doing this, we've seen mass salvations and just droves of people coming to the Lord. But if I'm being completely honest, we haven't seen a single salvation yet. I mean, we've been going, we've been sharing, we've been preaching. We haven't seen anyone get saved, but we don't care because it's not our responsibility to get people saved. We actually don't have that ability to save people. Jesus saves people. It's not our responsibility to get people saved, but it is our responsibility to share. It is our responsibility to go out and to preach, and we're not out there to get a certain outcome. We're not out there to get a certain statistic and, oh, we got this many people saved or posted on our social media. Like, that's not why we're out there. We're out there out of obedience to the Father because Jesus asked us to be out there. And he said, would you be willing to go out? If no one even says yes, if people mock you, people ridicule you, would you be willing to go out and to share what I have done in your life? Because there is a hurting, broken world right around you, and people who are so hungry. They're so hungry. And I just want to encourage all of us today, like, this isn't just for the young ones. This is for every single one of us. And there's so many ways to share your faith. You do not have to show up on campus with a microphone, although you can if you want to, but you do not have to do that. I can't tell you how many ways people in the college students have told me of ways that God's opening doors to share the gospel with their dance team, with their coworkers, with their roommates. Like, people, like I said, are so, so hungry. And he's not looking for a certain personality type. He's not looking for a certain gifted person. Like, he's just looking for people who are willing to say yes. And that's really, truthfully, what it's been for us is we're not anything special, but we've just decided, we've counted the cost, and we said there's nothing to lose here. Jesus is worth it, and we're willing to say yes no matter what. And so it's been so fun.
I think what is so beautiful is they recognize the gift that they've been given. You recognize it. You're seeing it, sometimes with fresh eyes. Wait, this is great news. This is great news because there's a hurting, broken world who needs to know that they don't have to do it on their own. Would we be willing to be the one to relay the message? And I believe Dale actually has a deposit for this, like, from the Lord to really share the good news. And if you want to grow in boldness, this might not be everybody, truly. If you want to grow in your boldness and your courage to share the gospel, would you stand right now? Because I'm going to have her just pray over you.
Oh, Lord, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you just for who you are and what you've done in the reality of the cross, the reality of the gospel, that it truly does transform and change lives. And so, Lord, I thank you for every single man and woman standing here this morning. Lord, I ask that you would fill them afresh with your power. You would fill them afresh with your presence. You say in 1 Corinthians, it says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the very power of God. And so, Lord, I ask that your power would be released through these men and women, and I pray that you would come upon them with such a boldness to speak. If there's anyone in this room, I feel like there's been people who have, like, had an it's been hard to speak and to use your voice. Lord, I just break that off in Jesus' name, and we say voices be released to speak and to share the good news. And so, Lord, I ask that you would, yeah, embolden them afresh. Yeah, there's no gift that they need, but they just need you, a simple, fresh yes. And Lord, I ask and pray that Champaign-Urbana would be changed through simple, obedient yeses, everyday simple yeses through these men and women. So we bless them to go out and to share anywhere that they live, work, and play, that you would give them eyes to see people the way that you see them and a boldness to share the good news around them. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 All right, stand if you're able, everyone, because we're going to take some time now and we're going to respond to the greatest gift we've ever received. And what I want you to know is if you received Jesus for the first time today, again, in Scripture, they believed and they were baptized. If you believe today for the first time and you want to be water baptized as a public declaration of your yes to Jesus, we have the tank. We have clothes, we have towels, we have everything you need to make that decision today. And we just encourage you, if that is you, as soon as we start to worship, make your way down here and respond to what Jesus is doing. There's others of you who need to respond in a physical way too. You know Jesus, but maybe you've walked away, or maybe you're like, actually, I just want to be filled and filled and filled again, because we leak, right? We need to be filled afresh. I want to encourage you to respond. Move out of your seat. It's safe down here. Come. The Holy Spirit wants to meet you in a special way. And sometimes it helps to get out of our box, out of our row, out of our seat, and just faithfully respond. So if you want to respond to water baptism, right down here, my friend John, my friend Troy, they're down here to help. And if you want to receive a fresh and filling, also come. Just come worship. He longs to meet with you. So Jesus, we love you. We welcome you in this place. You are the greatest gift. And we respond to you now by worshiping you. In Jesus' name.